Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclass.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels and Sin City Steve and Rob Bossolari here on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. All right, it's been some wrestling this week.
Just a little.
A little bit. Well, two new champions, some stuff happened.
Yeah, we'll start with this. Blood and guts. All right. So they can't get war games, so we just use the obvious blood and guts because that's what you get when you put two cages together and two rings together. You get a lot of blood and a lot of guts. And these guys winning the men's match and, of course, this thing about Hitchcock using chocolate sauce for blood and Psycho, and I just think that's all right. So what you guys think of the men's match?
Honestly, dude, I thought that, you know, there were times that it was like, oh shit, this is pushing the boundaries. The thing that stood out to me, obviously, you know, you can make the comments however you will about, you know, Darby taking the press slam through the flaming table. You can, you know, make the comments about the repeated fork strikes to Kyle O'Reilly. But one thing that I think that they did with this match was they were actually, with the violence, they were able to tell a story, both with this match and with the women's match. You see Kyle O'Reilly, of all people, somebody that's a glorified jobber, or at least has been in the past. He's had a pretty good string of matches with Jon Moxley. And in both of those matches, Moxley has resorted to, you know, either throwing a punch at the referee to get out of the match when it was obvious that, you know, he was outmatched with his wrestling ability by Kyle O'Reilly. And so they put a really nice kind of a button hook on that and, you know, button that whole story up nicely by, of all people, Kyle O'Reilly making Moxley tap out after all of the other Death Riders had been, you know, laid to waste. Everybody else is, you know, neutralized. And yeah, you have Kyle O'Reilly getting the win over Jon Moxley, which was complete surprise for me.
I had a problem with that. I do like putting Kyle O'Reilly over. I did not like it at the cost of Jon Moxley. You've made him so weak in the last month and a half that it's getting harder and harder for him to justify being the leader of a group that.
Now you're thinking. Now you're thinking. It's obvious that this is all spiraling towards Moxley being usurped and somebody else kicking him and him being kicked out. Somebody else assuming the mantle as the leader of the Death Riders. Moxley can go away for a while. Maybe they do the plastic bag over his head and have him disappear off TV for a couple of months. I think that it's time.
You give it to Claudio Castagnoli, whomever, but it's just and him doing the entire night of commentary on Collision and then getting booed out of the place and him storming out in disgust. They have to execute this properly, though. They can't keep going the direction they are and then have him stay there another year in the position he's at.
Yeah, I just don't understand why the AEW fans did not start chanting, "You forked up, you forked up."
Well played. Well fucking played, bro.
All right. So, you know, that is the men's, but then you also had these women in here. Bleeding like this.
Jesus. Fucking sky red, bro.
Yeah, sky red. And there's your winning team of blood and boobies. It looks like Jesus.
Well, you know, yeah, you know, you've seen how much work Marina Shafir's been getting. Remember 2 months ago I said, why isn't she in the ring fighting? And now she is nonstop and doing really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've done a really good job with building her up too. You know, you can say whatever you will, but I think that them not rushing to put her into an in-ring program, I think that that really has worked in their benefit, to be honest, because she was able to be the one to, you know, be the silent voice with the Death Riders, menacing, holding that briefcase or the Halliburton case that had the title in it for all those months. And then now she's getting, you know, physical in the ring on a regular basis. The spots with her stepping into the broken glass and then stomping on Mina, for instance, I mean, it's a great juxtaposition between her and Moxley. Because Moxley, if you'll notice, has been terrified of all things broken glass. He's tapped out now extremely fast when he's been down in either the Scorpion Deathlock or in the ankle lock. Both times he was in a broken glass from either the fish tank or in this case the broken glass from the women's match, which was still there and was brought into the men's match. He's definitely afraid, quote unquote, of broken glass. Yet you have Marina Shafir, somebody who's embracing it and using it as a weapon and having no fear with that.
The way she comes in the ring with her ring attire, she looks like John McClane, yeah, running through the broken glass, her feet taped up, wearing the sweatpants and the white shirt. Very raw. She took the sneakers off right in there and jumped in, knowing full well what kind of match it was going to be. A lot of tacks early on. And
lot really,
yeah.
There were a few, but like that whole Jamie Hayter spot where she brought in the bag
and just threw it all over
the bag ripped before she could do anything with it. That was that, and then Sky Blue and Julia Hart looking for a random gig that they had stocked in one of the turnbuckles.
Yeah, that was silly.
Drawing boos from the crowd. I think that was those were the only spots that were like, what's going on in this match? But Megan Bain looked like a fucking killer in this match. Sky Blue looked fucking crazy, yelling that this is her match. So yeah, give me more of that. Give me more of Megan Bain just throwing chicks around and just being an all-around badass. I think that we're starting to see some really good things. And again, it plays into the women's tag team title tournament. Because now you've got Tony and Mina going, you know, obviously it's obvious that they're going to be going against Marina and Megan in the semifinals on that side of the bracket. So they're doing some really good things, in my opinion, with it, telling stories in the ring, but making that more of a focal point of these matches and not just letting it be like a bloodletting ritual.
Right. Tony stormed everyone responsible for what happened to Mina and Blood and Guts. Quote, there is only two things we're good at, sex and violence, and either way, you're fucked, is the quote. This again, 34-year-old me, if they left me in at that McDonald's play place one more time.
That was a cool spot, man. That was a really cool spot. Having yeah. both of them
it was get definitely out through unique. The... It was innovative.
Yeah.
And then, of course, this...
Bed of nails.
Yeah, the bed of nails and... it's onward to full gear from here. So there you go. That's what was going on there. All right, on the other end here, from Becky Lynch a couple weeks ago, they've been trying to end my glorious run. Looney Lyra, Nasty Nikki, Basic Bailey, Moody Maxine, but they can't do it. It's the greatest Intercontinental Championship reign of all time. Lots of people are saying it.
Well, so many people.
From there to what happened here. winning your first title from a multi-time world champion at the world's most famous arena doesn't get bigger than that. This is at the Garden. Congratulations, Maxine Dupri from Triple H there. Man, they did it. they finally went with it. And, you know, the build they've been doing to make this Maxine and Becky thing work, you have to give Becky a lot of fucking credit.
Absolutely.
She could have all Hogan'd on that one.
Yeah, well, see, that's the whole thing. This is the one she's been getting so much heat for exactly that. And Becky here Hogan. It is. Yeah. She just made someone.
Yeah, absolutely did.
Yeah. So, you know.
And Maxine Dupree now can say that she beat Chad Gable, because Chad Gable has no singles titles. They can pull that back into a storyline down the road.
Well, yeah, because they need the male-female storyline. But, no, the Alpha Academy in itself, she did a picture, or she did, like, a video with Otis and what's-his-face, you know, seeing the title, like, having the title, you know, it's like...
It Japanese just, you know, wrestler number two.
Yeah, Fukunami or...
Tozawa.
Yeah, Tajiri.
Indeed. So,
yeah. So Tajiri and one of the Viking Raiders in the Alpha Male Academy. whatever it is. Maxine Dupree's, you know, got a title now. So, yes, congratulations.
Props to her on that. And props to WWE for pulling the trigger. Genuinely. I mean, you know, I think that it's obvious if you just watch Maxine in the ring, just how committed she's been to getting better in the ring. It shows, you know, if you look at a match that she did a year ago, hell, even 6 months ago, compared to what she's doing now and what she did in that match with Becky, I think that, Becky has to be commended because she made her look like $1 million. But it is a true testament to Maxine Dupree. And it just shows if you work hard and you bust your ass and you give it everything you got, you're going to get better. It's just a matter of time. And good on them for giving her that runway so that she could actually show how much better she's gotten.
I also like the use of AJ Lee. It puts some rocket fuel underneath Maxine Dupree. It's a super happy moment. And it gives more credence to a future with AJ Lee back in the company, even if it's for a slight run.
Well, and obviously they're building towards eventually that AJ and Punk versus Seth and Becky, you know, there's no doubt there's money there. That's just a great pairing. MSG also saw the continuation of the Cena tournament for the last opponent and John Cena's last appearance in said arena. Now with that, let me pull a little focus here to this man right here, Matt Cardona. About 2 weeks ago, won the Juggalo Championship Wrestling heavyweight title at Lunacy Taping in Detroit. And then, of course, this week, Matt Cardona shows up in NXT.
NXT, never mind.
Yeah, which was great. And then here we go. Zack Ryder, Matt Cardona breaks his silence on returning WWE and teases it not being a one-off. 5 years. It's been 5 years since I put on the Zack Ryder boots every single morning. The first thing I do before I even open my eyes is say, how can I get back here? What do I have to do to get back here to WWE? I busted my butt for the past 5 years. Indie God, the complete all for this opportunity right now. This might be a one-time shot, or I might just be getting a call tomorrow. What matters is that I'm Zack Ryder again. I'm always ready. I guess I can say this. Woo, woo, woo. You know it. And that was via the WWE YouTube. And this thing here, Zack Ryder, always ready. WWE, NXT, AEW, ROH, TNA, NWA, GCW, and of course, like I just said, JCW. The only one missing there really is MLW.
Yeah.
Which I don't think he's wrestled for this year. So, holy crap, man. What a return to SmackDown. What a story with Matt.
Absolutely, he always said if he ever heard that Zack Ryder music again, he would puke. He's on an interview saying that. But yeah, if you get the call to go to WWE and they tell you, do the Long Island iced tea thing again, do it. I want to be Matt Cardona. No. Kid. You're Zack Ryder. Put on the boots. Put on the fucking boots. You want it, right? You want to see your wife again? Put on the goddamn boots.
What's funny is I saw an interview with him, and I believe it was with Chris Van Vliet, but he made a mention that he has numerous pairs of gear or numerous sets of gear that he has had made just waiting for this opportunity. So it was one of those things where he willed it into existence that it was going to happen. And yeah, he's got the interchangeable elbow pads and knee pads, you know, with the MC or the ZR. So, you know, yeah, props to Zack Ryder, Matt Cardona. I mean, the dude, when he first went to GCW and did the deathmatch stuff, you know, a lot of people rolled their eyes. They thought that it was a publicity stunt, that, you know, it was just, you know, him just fucking around. But no, the guy has been the hardest working guy in the business for the last 5 years, man, appearing at any house that he can. Doesn't matter if there are 20 people in the audience, he's going to show up. He's going to bust his ass. He's going to make an impression. Props to him, man. Props to him.
The only thing that matters is that the promoter meets his pay. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. He'll wrestle anywhere, but you do have to meet his figures. And absolutely. It's a pricey figure for an indie, you know, for an indie wrestler. So, you know,
he's got the indies and he's got the nostalgia all going at the same time. It's worth it. And if you can pair him up with his wife down the road, why not?
Bingo.
Right. And also, of course, returning on Raw, Dolph Ziggler, another
he's here
one
to show the world.
Yeah. And which, you know, who knew that Dolph would, you know, he always said too, it's like if he was going to come back, he wasn't going to do NXT necessarily. He'd want to do the big show and do the big show.
And his tag partner, Ryan Ziggler.
Hey, man, Ryan Ziggler is a fucking star. People just don't know it, man.
He doesn't know it.
But, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of, you know, we're seeing a lot of this with the relationship. And then we get this in TNA. So former WWE star JDC Fandango officially announces his retirement tonight on Impact. He says he'll officially retire after TNA Genesis in January and apologize to the system as he promises to help them find the perfect replacement for him. The Rascals then interrupted things, and they say before JDC retires, he and the system need to face the Rascals at Turning Point. Then they officially announce the return of Wes Lee after being released from WWE and say that they will, that's their partner because he's officially back in TNA. I mean, it's just brilliant.
Realistically, was there any other play for Wes Lee at this point? And that's not saying anything negative, but it just makes sense. Like, it, as soon as it was announced that, you know, that he was being future endeavored, everybody's thoughts went to the same place. Okay, start the clock. When is he showing up in TNA? Awesome stuff. It's good to have him back, quite frankly, where he belongs with his boys, you know.
Now, wait a minute. How many people are in NXT Dark State?
The Dark State?
Four. Mm-hmm. Four. Yeah. How many people in the Rascals?
Yeah, you might see it. You might see it. There's no doubt that, you know, he'll be used in some form.
Oh yeah.
And here's the other thing: you got to take into consideration that with those opportunities there, they can release guys on that level, and they can go back to TNA or go into TNA for the first time and still get the opportunity to wrestle on NXT. So, I mean, that's one of the things the relationship lends to. I think this man right here, who is the new TNA world champion, congratulations to Frankie Kazarian.
Congrats, man.
Right place, wrong time.
Yeah, well, you know what? But you don't know why yet. I think that, Steve, you are onto something. Potentially with a television deal, could very well be.
I mean, the thing that we don't know as fans is, you know, it's been rumored that AMC Networks is the most probable landing spot for TNA, which now keep in mind, they don't just have AMC. They have like five or six different networks under that umbrella. But regardless, you have to wonder if the network had their choice. And they decided that, you know, Kazarian should be the guy that is holding the title when they start the show. I personally, you know, as a fan, I'm not a big fan of them having Santana chase for a year, and then on his first defense, you take the title from him. Not a fan of that booking. I obviously, it remains to be seen the reasons why. And if, you know, it could be that they just want to have Santana on the chase, and they feel that he's better suited for the chase as opposed to holding the championship. But I think that was just a huge missed opportunity. You could have easily had Santana hold that title. The guy's gotten exponentially better on the mic. Everybody always said that Ortiz had the charisma, had the it factor, you know, whatever kind of vernacular that you wanted to use. Out of that tag team, and Santana was the work guy. I think that Santana's done an excellent job of reinventing himself, showing what he can do, obviously in the ring, but also with the microphone. And he's got to help hold that title again soon, man. It's just a matter of time with him.
Too soon. First title defense, it makes him look weak overall. Again, it's wrestling. Everyone's fickle. They'll forget. If you can frame it and do the chase right, but then doesn't Nick Nemeth also have that call your shot title that he's sharing with that he shared with Frankie Kazarian, that he could pop at any moment? No, because they both
wasn't that used? No,
he still has it, because I was watching TNA and they said he still has it.
I don't know. I thought Kazarian was the only one who had it, but whatever.
No, they both. There was a double at the end of that. At the end of that, they gave them, gave it to both guys.
Oh, okay. So it was a lesbian finish. Okay.
All right.
Well, speaking of lesbians, hey, look, Joe Hendry signed with the WWE.
Yeah, there you go. Say his name.
Oh, there say the price and he appears. No.
Yeah, well, you know, at this point, it's time to make the money. You know,
definitely agree.
So
put the machine behind him. Put the TKO machine behind him, and yeah, he can make a lot of money as a babyface draw. Not just in NXT as they've been showing, but also when inevitably he makes it to the main roster.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And this whole thing with him and Thea teaming up against Chelsea and Ethan Page, you know, again and again, right there. Okay, Thea Hale, you know, NXT original, Joe Hendry, Ethan Page, Chelsea Green. All former TNA. So if you want to, you know, if you want to talk about the influence TNA has had over, you know, over the past 5 years or so in terms of people who have ended up either going through AEW then to WWE or from TNA to WWE, it's astounding, you know, it's crazy. So, but again, another TNA, Once Dixie sold, what I think
the majority shareholding, I think she's got like 5%.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if she has anything. But the idea with what Scott DeMora created was essentially a product that was something that was you could learn how to do the style of wrestling, the style of television that feeds into the WWE. You know, it wasn't the same full rundown, but, you know, as NXT was building, you also had TNA, which had the same feel. So if you couldn't get into NXT, TNA was a great alternative. And look at how many people have now been able to cross over. So that's pretty awesome right there. And then NXT's Hank and Tank defeated Tanaka and
Takashi Sugura.
There you go, Takashi. Yep. To win the GHC Tag Team Championship at NOAH. So it's like WWE's in Japan now, too.
I feel like we've been here before 40 years earlier now, where they're just in every territory.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, man. Like, realistically, though, this is pretty interesting, because if you're going to have NXT talents going to obviously, you know, we've seen AAA and now we're seeing NOAH. You're definitely seeing the NXT or even WWE main roster talent getting additional seasoning by going to these other promotions in these other countries. And almost like an excursion, which Japanese wrestlers have been doing for years, especially as prolific in New Japan, where they'll graduate from the dojo. And then as soon as they're done with the dojo, they'll go to a US-based promotion on some sort of an agreement, get some seasoning in a completely different part of the world with a completely different audience where nobody knows them. That allows them to work on a character, build that up, you know, create their persona or make it better. And now we're starting to see more of that. And surprisingly enough, WWE and TKO utilizing that same type of a blueprint for their own talents. It's extremely smart and something that, quite frankly, I didn't think that we would see on a regular basis. But here we are, 2025, almost 2026. It's awesome.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then this happened. We had the ID belt for the women in WWE. It was vacated. And our own Brittany Brooks, along with Erica Demia, T.R. James, and Notorious Mimi, fought for that. And I believe it was T.R. James who ended up winning that belt just the other day. So a lot of things going on with
that. Very cool.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Brian Idol made a post about AEW and the NWA Championship. And then Tony responded this week about it, you know, being no disrespect, having seen it and stuff. What's your feeling, Steve and Rob, on the idea of this new title and the NWA and lineage, etc.?
This is stupid. The title exists somewhere else actively. There's a champion already. This is stupid. The end.
Yeah, and it's I hate being the repeater guy, but I would agree 100% with you, Rob, on that. I think that I don't have a problem with them introducing the championship. And to be honest, I don't even mind that they're calling it the national championship. That's fine. But to completely try and hijack a title lineage, which has never been in your promotion before, I think that that's a really big misstep. I think that, you know, Tony meant well with this, but the mere fact that there already is an NWA National Championship, it is still in circulation and it is being defended in the NWA, I think that there's a miscalculation there. And above all, let's be real. And I know that we hit on this last week, I think it was, but there are way too many fucking championships as is in AEW. They don't need another championship. Even if this is going to be a traveling title, like what we saw with the International Championship or the All-Atlantic Championship when it was first brought in, and strictly being used in indie promotions or satellite promotions, I think that that's good, as long as we never split that unified championship, because if that ever happens, then that's a clusterfuck just waiting to happen. The international title and the continental title should never be split, and they need to rename that unified championship to something that doesn't suck. I don't know, maybe like the Intercontinental Championship.
If you were going to call it the unified champion, what did it unify into? That's what I'm saying. It's confusing. The first time out, if you said the Intercontinental Unified Champion and then just the Intercontinental, done. You've got a belt with a bunch of flags on it. The thing is stupid. And then you reintroduce, you split it all over again. To me, this is no different from WWE having a World Heavyweight Universal Champion and then next week going, you're the world champion. Yeah, I know. I know I am. No, you're not. Seth Rollins is, you are the WWE champion. Well, what do you mean fucking, what?
Fucking semantics, bro.
It's one semantics. Promotion. It's one thing. You just unified the belt. You took away an international belt. Now you call it a national. Oh, for fuck's sake. It's stupid. You just went through the whole process of getting rid of the international fucking belt to make this unified nonsense. Remember when TNA had that belt where they had judges? How long did that crap last? They had that UFC shit where they had three guys and three rounds. Stop doing all this weird shit.
Yeah.
All right? It didn't need to happen. And then you insulted another live active promotion of which you harvest some of their talent.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's where you got Thunder Rosa. Was from.
I'm kidding. Obviously, yeah. That's another story for another day. But yeah, it's insane, dude.
People from there. This is the same fuck up they made with TNA. They didn't reciprocate all the way. Now all the TNA stars are like,
it's the pipeline right to WWE. TNA has become the pipeline straight to WWE.
Yeah, your stars are either going across. AEW, and AEW is just like, hey, we don't need you. See that wrestler over there for WWE who just retired? Check it out. I got some plans for Mr. Cope. Oh, he's out? All right. I got some plans for Mr. I've got some plans for Claudio Castagnoli. All right.
Leave that when I see it.
Hey, do they have a guy who's getting ready to fly the coop? Little style clash right there. He owns the name, right? Yep. I don't want to call him like Aaron Jones Lee or some bullshit. Nope. All right,
He owns the name.
All right, get him. Owns the name. Get him.
I don't think that's going to happen, bro. As much as I would love to see AJ Styles in an AEW ring, not going to happen.
All right, can we get that Michael Jackson dancing one and use him for a couple of weeks? Oh, he's gone over to NXT? Damn it. I'm being facetious. I know he didn't.
I was going to say, shit, I'd love to see Santana in AEW. I don't know about you, bro.
He was in AEW. God damn it. Well, look what happened to him now.
Santana Jackson. Fuck.
That's right. Michael Santana Jackson. We had.
Wow. Wow.
His name is Michael, god damn it. We had him. We made him proud and we made him powerful. And now look at him.
Okay. And then Stevie Richards said Logan Paul is easily much better than every single AEW star. I'm gonna say it easy. Logan Paul is better than everybody in AEW. So okay. John Moxley, yes. Darby Allin, Will Ospreay, yes. Irv Strickland, yes. Kenny Omega, Young Bucks, yes. He's a character. I can hate him or love Logan Paul. Every bit athletic as them all. He's proven it. He doesn't debut all 12 moves at the same time. Doesn't give you everything. He makes something special happen in a Logan Paul match every time. consistently creates memorable moments every single time in the ring. That's Stevie Richards' take. Steve.
He's good. He's not better than MJF on the mic, but he's good.
Agreed. And, you know, I got to say this about Stevie Richards, man. Grifting ain't easy. Grifting ain't easy. Because, you know, if he would have, and I think that as was said by somebody who rocks our gear on, and we have video proof of it, Dave Meltzer himself actually mentioned on Twitter that it's a bit of a disingenuous thing, because if he's just going to mention AEW, then that's, you know, him spotlighting that. Let's be real. I've pounded the drum for Logan Paul on this show. Quite frankly, I think he's better than over half the people in TNA, half the people in CMLL, half the people in New Japan, half the people in virtually every promotion on the planet. Half better than half the people in AEW. I will say that. But at the end of the day, you know, to strictly say AEW, it's like, okay, what kind of point are you trying to make, bro? Are you literally stoking the fires of tribalism? And it's just like, it's one thing to talk up somebody who you're a fan of their work, the fan of their character work, their athleticism, whatever it is, and say that they're one of the best wrestlers in the world. But if you spotlight it and you say he's better than everybody in AEW, bro, you just sitting there watching Jim Cornette, or what the fuck?
He's good. He has been lighter on the mic as of late, Logan good. Paul.
Good.
His in-ring ability was amazing right out of the gate. We saw how creative he was in the Royal Rumble when he did that coast-to-coast against Ricochet.
The Sphere against Ricochet, yeah.
Fucking incredible.
Oh, yeah.
When he got his first title run, he was good. He's not bad. Walking out with the Pokemon card, he's got a persona built up. He's got the physique. And also, if you roll him out gradually, you don't risk running him down and getting him injured too soon.
Yeah. He should be a special attraction, genuinely.
But this is the fucked up thing. There is a guy they let rot on the vine wait in the process of this happening, and his name is LA Knight.
Yes.
They fucked that moment up. They had the opportunity. All right, you've given him the United States Championship. Make him IC champion. Give him something to hold the audience over and show us that you still are invested in that guy, because that guy is doing your Slim Jim commercials. That guy is effectively the entertainment arm of the WWE. He is their MJF. Now, you want to make him a heel, you want to do something, but don't let him rot on the vine and then start fucking jerking off Logan Paul. That's stupid. Oh, Logan Paul's amazing. Cool. Yeah, I get it. Logan Paul's good on the mic. Yes, he's not bad.
Time out. You brought up someone. And I said this on the DeFalco Files this past week, but Mr. Knight, this past weekend, I pull up to a hotel here in Vegas, and I don't usually pay attention when I'm giving a Lyft ride. Then get in my car, and we start driving, and I'm hearing this voice in the back seat, like, "Is that Ricker?"
Yeah.
Fuck. And I'm
hearing, should have gone to the airport, dummy.
Well, I look over my shoulder, and I'm like, "That's fucking Sean." Okay, and I'm not going to mark out or say anything, you know, because
I would have.
Well,
no shit. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm not an idiot.
As I cause a 5-car pile up. LA Knight didn't make it. Who was driving?
He's in the car with a friend, another guy, who I don't know who it was. Again, I couldn't look over my shoulder, and it didn't look like it was anyone familiar to me. I don't think it was. I don't know. But going to 18 bin, all right. Drop him off. Didn't say anything. It was polite. You know, good ride. motherfucker does not tip. He is not a tipper. Fuck that guy. And your WWE contract. So there you go.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brutal.
He deserves not to be champion.
And then, now, wait a minute. Now, you see, if you would have done like I would have done and marked out, you would have had $20 in your pocket. Dummy. No, yeah.
I would have probably ended up, you know, in a headlock and, you know.
And then in a hospital and then you got 50,000. Dummy. Yeah.
You know,
he'd be Eli Drake tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
Or even worse, they would have demoted him to NXT and made him Max Dupree.
Hey, listen.
Hey, man, there's more than one royal family, okay?
Yeah, Max Dupree and Maxine Dupree have done pretty good for themselves.
Exactly.
With titles. All right. And speaking of doing good for themselves, the top 10 ladies in the 2025 PWI women's have been revealed. Of the 250 list, Monet, Storm, Saya, Stratton, Stephanie, Io Sky, Athena, Sari.
Yep.
Not Saraya.
Sari.
Saraya is that rash you get when you bang NXT champions too many times.
Naomi and Rhea Ripley. Okay. Thoughts on this list?
I mean, realistically, it's in my view, it's not a bad list. But obviously, I know Michael's. I'm sure you have quite a bit of umbrage with it, especially seeing who's up there at the top. I've said it though. You can knock Mercedes all you want, but she has really stepped into her space. Yes, she's carrying 12 titles and you know, going for another one this week.
Where's the outrage? I don't like.
Yeah. Michael's.
Oh, okay. Yes. Let me just do this little thing. All right. The AEW Over and Under this week, presented by Sin City Steve.
Is how many championships will Mercedes Moné be at by the end of the week? It's very, very simple. She is facing Red Velvet. Yes, Red Velvet on AEW Dynamite on Wednesday this week in a women's TV title unification match. And she also just won another championship at House of Glory against an opponent who had another championship defended, and the promotion is based in Malaysia, okay? So, yes, she has that championship that she just won at House of Glory, and guarantee it, she's going to win the ROH Women's TV title. And, you know, common sense would tell you, okay, if she's the interim champion and has the belt for it, she's going to, you know, just continue to carry that one belt, right? But because of this, I can definitely tell you, right now, Mercedes Moné, as of the time of this recording, is a 13 belt champion. Okay, 13 belts. Once she defeats Red Velvet on Wednesday, she will be over 14 belts, because they will not just say, "Oh, well, we're just going to collapse this belt into the other one." She's going to carry both the interim and the full time. Ring of Honor Television Championship. So the over-under for this week is over 14 championship belts held by Mercedes Moné by the end of this week. Now, mind you, in the wake of all of the absurdity with that, she has. I personally would have flip-flopped 1 and 2. I think that Toni Storm is the best character in all of women's wrestling. And the argument could be made the best character in all of professional wrestling. However, Mercedes Mané, yes, she does have that one, the one spot. And correct me if I'm wrong, but PWI has a slight tinge of kayfabe built into it. So if that's the case, then it makes even more sense because she's the champion of 13 different promotions at this point. So she kind of, kayfabe-wise, earned that number one spot. And even disregarding kayfabe, I think that she does deserve to be at the top of the list because of the work that she's done in ring, as well as character building and what they've done in almost building that women's division around her. I hope she doesn't fucking beat Statlander at Full Gear, but I think we all know what's going to happen, very sadly.
Yeah. The only thing I have issue with is the fact that on numerous occasions now, the words have been uttered, Io Sky is the best wrestler.
Yes.
Women's wrestler. And so to have her at six, yeah. Monet at one and her at six is tragic. I think that you're talking.
Io needs to be top three.
Yeah, I think Storm 1 and EO 2 is what we're looking at. And then you can argue, Monet, Stratton, Monet, Stratton, and possibly Stephanie. I think Stephanie might be a little high on this list.
I think so, too. Yeah, I see Stephanie right around 10. Now, granted, next year, 2026, if she continues the trajectory that she's been on, I think that she'll easily be top five for 2026 for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean top three.
So. Right. Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, that's our little thing there. Here's the next one. All right, Mr. President, time to pontificate. And let's get you off. Hold on. There you go.
Tremendous honor. So happy to be here. This is a fabulous show. You guys are doing tremendous work. This is a wrestling podcast like never before. And it's even better now that I'm here. This is it's one of the biggest podcasts. It's the best podcast. And you're talking about women. You're talking about the 10 best women of wrestling. Do you have the list? Let me see the list. Let me see this list.
The list is gone. It's
Mr. President loves talking about lists lately. Yeah,
You're
doing so well, okay? I think your last name is Matt Michaels Jimenez. You see where I'm going with this? Okay. Senor Jimenez. Okay. All right. Okay, and really, if we're being honest, Jimenez. Okay, that's a J. Okay, it's a J. All right, like just get out of here. Break. Where's my list? Where's these beautiful women?
I erased the list. You're gonna make it up anyway. That's what you do. So go ahead and give us your top 10 list.
Get this guy out of here. Get him out of here. So sad, so very sad, so disrespectful, you know. This is why your show's as big as it should be. Look at him. He's got like the $5 internet from Mexico, okay? He's got net zero. What year is this? Okay. So sad, so very sad. Then you have Toni Storm is number two. You have Mercedes Mané. First of all, to Miss Mané, she looks very Puerto Rican-y. And I don't know, they put her in Star Wars. And I guess that's why they made it number one. They said that, it's good enough for Disney. Okay, it's good enough for me. I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know about this one. They've given her 15 belts and promotions no one's ever heard of before. I feel like Mercedes has got a 3D printer in her back office. She's just making the belts up as she goes along. What the fuck is going on here? They don't know what the fuck they're doing. She's never been to these promotions. She wins these belts. She never goes back. She's going to have these belts and the promotion's going to close, all right? She's going to go to the bingo hall in Chattanooga and find out the promotion she's got on her chest is not even there anymore. So sad, so very sad. Then you put Toni Storm on there, okay? You've got Toni Storm number two. Of course, she's number two. Nobody wants Juice Robinson's slappy seconds, okay? Who the fuck? He's got a gold tooth on the bottom. He hasn't won anything. What has he won? Okay. What has this guy won? Besides being able to, you know, to be inside Tony Storm, this guy has nothing. That's his best credit. I'm the guy who gets to bang Tony Storm once a year. Believe it. Believe it. Okay. She's not letting him touch that. Believe it. Okay. Now she's famous again. Okay. When she was getting kicked out of the WWE, people got tired of the, well, she was an Aussie. Remember when she was an Australian? Then she was a bitch. They made her, they put her there with the British chick and they were the British bitches. The outcasts. Remember the outcasts were not good enough for the WWE? Hey, we're not good enough for WWE. We have to sit down where we be. You know, they kicked him out. She was a bitch in the outcast. And then she came out with this timeless Tony Storm thing. And she's tremendous. She's over now. She's got to get rid of Juice Robinson. Quite honestly, Tony, I've got all the juice you need. Believe it. Believe it. Then they've got some Japanese chicks. And you know what? Where's Becky Lynch? Was she on that list?
I don't believe so.
She was not.
She was. Nobody gives a shit. Nobody gives a fuck. She should go back to picking potatoes or something. So sad. Okay. Nobody cares about her or her washed up husband who dresses up like a drag queen. Okay. They accuse me of having sex with Donald Trump. Excuse me. The only one who looks like he's blown Donald Trump is Seth. What is it? His name isn't even Seth. It's Colby Lopez. He sounds like he's flipping tacos in the back of a Jack in the Box. Okay. Okay. Let's be honest. Let's be real here. The guy dresses up like he's B. Arthur. All right. Okay. He dresses up like he's the fifth Golden Girl. All right. So sad. So very sad. I'm so glad that the Bronson twins kicked the shit out of him. Thin Bronson and Fat Bronson. They beat the shit out of him. No more Golden Girl. Okay, no more girl to girl. Okay, he's gone. Get him out of here, El Deportivo. Then we got, who else is on that list? No black wrestlers. No Jade Cargill. No Jade. You know what black wrestler I want to win? Nicki Minaj. We like Nicki Minaj. Okay, she was so sweet. She came out. I said, I need you to come to the United Nations. She came out to the United Nations, you know. She even came out three shades lighter just for me. I said, you know what? We need to make it presentable. She did it. I was so happy. Wow. I said, wow. Look at you. Look at you. You want to stay in this country. She wants to stay. Okay. What was the last rap song she was on? That 6ix9ine thing? Okay. Look at her then and look at her now. Okay. I said, look, you got to clean yourself up. If you're going to go, I can't make the lights that bright. Believe it. Okay. There's only so much we can do. But she cleaned up. You know, that's what Jade Cargill needs to do, you know? If Jade Cargill could look like Charlotte Flair by the end of the year, she might be a memorable champion. Believe it. Believe it. And her knees still work, okay? And I know a thing or two about having knees at work. Wait a minute.
All right. To take an internet dump. Oh my God. Hey everybody. Happy Stone Cold Steve Autumn. That time of year again. You know, catching up here. Lita dressed as Elvira for Halloween. Oof. Wow.
No, hold on. Hold on.
You okay there, Rob?
What? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Here we go. Drew McIntyre and his wife Caitlin dressed up as Gomez and Morticia, but also did the twins Shining. The question is Jordan Grace Shaggy down there?
Jinkies. Oh my God.
Some costumes here. The Young Bucks.
Long time WON subscription.
Oh, not safe.
Trampolines, 8 inflatable neck braces, and ultimate shoulder height super kicks. And of course, this costume. Sunny comes with orange jumpsuit, blonde wig, vodka handgun, steering wheel.
Oh my God.
Look at that picture. Oh my God.
There's nothing sunny there.
Oh, speaking of Sonny, look at the Fantastic Four with Gargano and Candace and their kid. That's awesome. I love that one. Yeah, Kathy Kelly as Rhea Ripley. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
The funny thing is she looks more like Lita there for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, it's just because,
I know it's more, yeah, but she has
like more. It's just because that's more of her face, you know. I mean, you know, she'd have to go a little more extreme to look like Rhea. And then there we go. Gotham Vice City for Lola Vice. Can't go wrong with that.
Right? What's the name of the show again?
Bad Boys.
Yeah, man. I'm going to go stick of butter.
The Undertaker and his daughter this Halloween. This is pretty That's fucking awesome. And of course, this classic Halloween costume. Co-workers, who are you supposed to be? Me, a very wealthy man.
Oh, shit. Mm. Or somebody who has a very favorable settlement.
Right, of course. Mm. And, of course, Intelligent Baby Champion, a classic from 10 years ago from the Iron Sheik. And awesome. Speaking of a little dress-up here, back in the day, Paul Bearer there with David Boy Smith, who apparently took Dustin's Gold Dust gear while he was not around and put it on.
Paul Bearer was enjoying that way too much.
Yeah. And here's a throwback to 6 years ago on Halloween. Orange Cassidy wrestled Priscilla Kelly and they swiped tires.
Wow.
Orange in a Priscilla's outfit is fucking pretty awesome.
I don't know. I'm trying to feel some things. I got to go, guys. I got to talk to my therapist.
Oh, man. We'll miss you, Rob. All right. Hey, look at that. So the classic Million Dollar Man sketch where he did the dribble of a basketball and he kicked it away from the kid on, I think, dribble number 9.
Yep.
Here he actually was getting a rental car, I believe is the story. And the kid is now a guy who works at the rental car place.
That's awesome.
And gave him a Honda Civic with one busted tire.
Yeah. Yeah, he got his revenge on the Million Dollar
Man. Hey, man, what's that smell?
Remember Jake the Snake Roberts in the AHA video?
Oh, God, that's good.
How we unfriended people back in the 90s, kicking them through a barbershop window.
Hell yeah.
And speaking of Sean...
Elton Sean.
He wishes he had hair like that.
Oh, man. This guy.
Oh, God.
Brian Armstrong, back in the days, pre-Road Dogg and WCW.
Oh, my God.
Yo, double G.
And how about this from the WWF?
Back in the day, shit.
Peter Motz, or better known as Perry Saturn.
Yep.
It looks like Drew McIntyre today.
Yeah, well, you know. How about this handsome fellow? Bill Goldberg back in the day.
God. What the hell is that on his head?
Looks like a different fucking person entirely, bro.
Yeah, it looks like he wants to sell me a used car.
or take your Guido sister on a date.
Exactly.
Both.
It's like the Jewish guy looking like he wants to be Italian.
You know that guy's got season tickets to the Jets.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of Bill, undefeated streak in WCW, you guys always act like you're better than me. Speaking about 34 and Bo, the undefeated streak from 900 plus for Asuka and undefeated streak at WrestleMania with The Undertaker. Going a little bit further on... this Goldberg shirt here from Timu.
Fuck.
Nice.
Good. Very old nice. Timu with the Bret Hart picture on a Bill Goldberg.
That's awesome. Shirt.
I want that shirt now. I so want that shirt.
The best friends were spotted out together. Festival of Friendship is back. Love to see it with Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho out. on town. Congratulations, Rusev and Lana. They're expecting a child together. Unfortunately, it's Damian Priest.
Ah, I knew it. I knew you.
Yep.
And, this. So apparently, this is something that Ricochet posted about his wife. She's got 1 year left before I decide where she can work, or I might decide that she has to stay home again. Either way, it's my decision where she goes, not hers.
This guy's our neighbor, by the way.
Yeah, Trevor.
Yeah,
Trevor.
Don't work yourself into a shoot there, Michaels.
Oh no, I'm not. I think it's hysterical that he posted it.
Straight up, heel Ricochet is one of the greatest things that we've seen in years. He was bland as shit in WWE. Anybody can say that. He has been anything but that since going to AEW. So I think that, you know, there are in both instances, right? It's obvious Cody was meant for WWE. Just like how Ricochet has really stepped into his own since he went to AEW. So I think that, it's all about the right fit.
Yeah, and speaking about the right fit, I think that there are certain people who are just meant to be AEW fans. And the new mayor of New York is one.
Hey!
Well, Donnie, a socialist, is an AEW fan. So
of course he is. Of course,
we want everybody in this city of New York to have a choice in which wrestling promotion they watch. Okay, that is called wrestling equity.
You know, just moments like that make me smile. This is so funny. All right.
Well played, Michael.
Dear Triple H and WWE, for the love of the 80s, please give us the tag team Knight Rider. Of course.
Yes. Oh, why not?
That would be so good.
Why not? Like, genuinely, why the fuck not? Why?
The merch,
they're not doing anything with LA Knight. Let's be real. Yeah. They're not doing anything with Ricker. And Matt Cardona, Zack Ryder, whatever nomenclature you want to use, the guy is good. We've already said how awesome he is. Why not put the two of them together? Like, I know that it's a joke, Knight Rider, haha, it's funny, but legit, like, it's
their personality.
It's a good pairing. It's a good pairing.
So you know, my feeling is put them together, make that merchandise money so that Ricker can start tipping on his lift ride.
Absolutely.
Me pretending I didn't just hear the bouncer tell me to put my shirt back on. Andre drinking that beer. Hey, Liv Morgan was at the Stranger Things premiere.
That was last week.
Yeah.
Well, get to the one we really want to see.
The one we really want to see? Okay.
Hey, no one's ever been cummed on like that before. Creamed on, sorry.
Creamed.
Nikki Bella shares her excitement after the Philadelphia Eagles won. Hello. Jesus.
Kind of cold in the room.
A little bit. Mickie James thought she would receive praise from Mr. McMahon on finger-licking spot from WrestleMania 22. Quote, I thought I was going to get the biggest hug of a lifetime. Got back through the curtain and Vince was pissed. Like, that was crass. We're a publicly traded company. What were you thinking?
Of all fucking people, Vince McMahon to say that shit.
Oh, my God.
It fucked.
If anyone's going to lick pussy, it's going to be me.
Exactly.
Speaking of, here's CM Punk and AJ Lee.
Oh, God.
Oh. That's
fuck, bro.
That's the
soon you won't
be
able to see her.
That's the grumpy granny or something, viral sensation after Raw. He ended up giving her a hug. This is true. There's only an age difference of 3 days between these two. Now that was that was Miley Cyrus's brother on Hannah Montana.
Oh my God.
They are literally 3 days apart in age. Holy shit.
That's what did they give this kid? What's fucking going on in Disney?
I don't know, man. I mean, he's a huge kid, man.
Maybe conservatives are right. You shouldn't be putting out hormone blockers.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the huge Disney kid in the tank top.
Wait, there's someone in a tank top?
Well, he's actually holding a belt. Which I love that Cena posted that picture. That was amazing. Yeah. And if John Cena was in AEW.
Yeah, that one's been floating around a while.
Yeah. It's like, oh. You gotta love it. You also have all to right. love Prince McMahon.
Prince McMahon.
Prince McMahon. Holy shit.
Oh boy. And then of course Hangman Page and Tony Storm.
What the hell?
She looks a lot different in person, apparently.
Well, I told you that's what Juice Robinson can get.
And finally, someone posted this on the internet somehow, some way. I got to be the meat in this sandwich, and it is confirmed it was this man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. Finally, Rob, what you got going on?
All right. Friday, NUWU, N-U-W-U. You will see me there. It's a Gabe Lopez show, and that is on the north side of town. Wednesday, a little bit closer. That'd be tomorrow night. I will be at Ola BB 1115 South Casino Center Drive.
Nice.
And that's at 10 o'clock. And I might also make an appearance tomorrow at Wise Guys a little bit earlier than that, and that will be at Town Square.
All right. Hey, answer me this question, Rob. I've always wondered this as I'm driving, by the one over there in the Arts District. You have on the side of the wall three comedians, right? Two of which are identifiable. Who's the third person on that wall?
Oh, all right. So wait. Hero. So you're talking about the old Wise Guys. That's the old Wise Guys. So on the left, you've got Whoopi Goldberg and Don Rickles. On the right, you've got you've got Richard Pryor. You've got Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers, right?
And then Paulie Shore is on there.
Is that
and the reason why Paulie Shore is on there? Is because he is part owner of Wise Guys Comedy Club.
Wow, Pauly could have picked a more Pauly Shore picture to represent himself with.
But he's not. But that location shut down. They had plumbing issues. That location shut down permanently. The one in Town Square, where I'll be tomorrow, that's the one that if you walk in, it used to be McFadden's for the locals next to what used to be Blue Martini.
Right.
You get in through the side entrance. When you walk in, you'll see Don Rickles, and you'll see an old picture of Joan, an old mural of Joan Rivers, and of also one of the kings of comedy on there who passed. I'm blanking out all of a sudden.
Bernie Mac?
Bernie Mac. They have Bernie Mac mural there, too, when you walk in. Yeah. And that will be the Wise Guys show tomorrow.
All right. Well, there you go. All right,
hosted Steve. By 6'8".
Steve, what do you got to say?
All right. Hey, I just want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code VEGAS at checkout. Save yourself 10%.
There you go.
They held back on a lot of what they could do.
Dude.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. We did. Well, it's late. I think that we've all earned a little kickback time where we can change into our PJs.
And, oh, jeez.
Rock out in our very
in the booth so fine. White fuzzy slippers on the low key rhyme. Spinning records till the break of dawn. And those slippers, he got it going on. Soft beats and faders never miss. In the booth, he's bringing bliss. White fuzz keeps him on track. Every beat, he's got your back. Oh, DJ, impact, feel the vibe. White fuzzy slippers every time. Groove is smooth, no fuss, no fight. In the lights, feel it right.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah! With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.